Davis, Rail 5. Now, we're talking about the time when you were on convoy work, basically going out to Gibraltar, sometimes a bit further. Did anything actually happen on these convoys? I mean, there were food convoys and that sort of thing.
Oh, yeah, and sometimes troops, you know, we escorted troops. And also any aircraft carriers or any big ships that was going out, we would give we would escort those as well.
And anything happened? Any particular things you remember?
We had several. Most times you would get, you know, on any convoy, you would get the Asdics would pick up submarines, and sometimes you had to follow through with them, you know, might drop depth charges, and but it was we very rarely got any aircraft. They might come over and possibly just see what you were doing, you know, what the convoy was doing.
You didn't have to open fire?
No, not very often. Well, very rare, you know.
Was it tiring, you know, on a convoy? I mean, when you were under the watch system, would it get tiring?
During the night, when you had night watch, you could get tired, but during the day, you could, it was very interesting, you know, especially as the weather was nice and fine and sunny, you know, you see some interesting things at sea. Sometimes it would be like a piece of glass, and another time you'd be bobbing up and down and holding on, you know.
Now, were you actually a member of an escort group?
I mean, yes, 21st, like, yeah.
Was this
21st?
Because you've got B2 and 22nd there, that's worrying.
Yeah,
and then 19th.
Yeah, we was the 19th escort group. While we was at Belfast, we was the 22nd. And I don't know what that Liverpool B2 is there.
You're not aware of that one?
No. But we was the 19th group.
And before that, the 22nd?
22nd, yeah.
Were you close to the other ships in the 22nd escort group?
Well, we used to tie up near enough together. And, you know, we got to know some of the lads. Sometimes you'd meet them ashore and might have a drink with them, you know. But we got on quite well with them.
So what's the next thing you remember then?
Well, after Liverpool, Liverpool was a very nice port to be in.
When were you at Liverpool?
Yeah, the 44.
Right. Now, so what we're saying is that not a lot happened. You weren't just at Pollock Dock during the period from May to December. You were also at Liverpool, were you?
Yeah, then we got transferred to Liverpool. We come under the Liver Buildings.
And that was in December 44.
Yeah.
Now, and it's when you went to Liverpool in December, that's when you joined the 19th escort group. And do you know why you'd change?
Not really, no. I don't know whether it was at the time when Captain Walker, you know, you've heard of Captain Walker? Well, we was attached to his group, and they used to say, Walker's going out, and Cotton's coming in, you know. We used to be opposite to him.
Now, tell me a bit about what life was like when you went ashore. Well, let's do Belfast first, you know, and then Liverpool. But what was it like ashore at Belfast?
Ashore at Belfast was a very dull place. Sundays, nothing hardly opened. You know, it's a bit of a Catholic area, and you know, nothing was ever doing on a Sunday. It was a bit of a miserable place, and a worse place than that was Londonderry. That was
what would you do when you went ashore in Belfast? I mean, would you
just have a walk about? There's no pubs open or anything like
what
that.
What about when it wasn't Sunday? You know.
Oh, then you'd go and have a drink, possibly in one of the. I think there was a Navy club there.
Do you know its name?
Not offhand.
What about any dance halls or anything? I don't think you were that big on dancing, were
no,
you?
No, no, not then, not him. No, I never went to dance halls. It was mostly cinemas, and cinemas was all to go then. You know,
were people friendly? I mean, the locals in Belfast?
They could be a little bit offhandish, you know, if they knew you was British. I knew a girl there, and she said, "Don't meet me in the street, I'll meet you on the corner," like, you know, because I was English, and, you know, she was Irish or Catholic, whatever you like, and, you know, they didn't take to you all that well, you know. There were some that were nice to you, but, you know, there was a... Liverpool was better.
Well, hang on, let's do Londonderry. Mm-hmm. When were you at Londonderry? Was that, you know...
Oh, Londonderry was... we was there... from... be about May 44 till
so before
December.
You went to Liverpool,
before I went to Liverpool.
Now, what was wrong with you? You seem not to have liked that one.
No, I didn't. Wasn't all that struck on Belfast.
Londonderry,
yeah. We only went there for one day, I think it was.
All right, yeah. Days. Now, what about Liverpool? What was Liverpool like?
Liverpool, they was very, very friendly people, and it was one of the best ports I've been in.
So what would you do when you went ashore in Liverpool? Any particular
We used to go. I started to suddenly get interested in dancing. Mind you, I never danced, but I used to go to dance halls. You know, most of the lads went there. And we used to...
Any particular ones?
Yes, the Grafton Dance Hall. It was at West Derby.
What was it like, the Grafton? Can you describe it?
It was a nice big hall, possibly a 5 or 10 piece band. You know, it was a proper dance orchestra. You know, they used to play all night. Then it was...
They had a bar.
Yeah, had a bar. And there was a pub opposite, so you could come out of the dance hall, into the pub. And but it was a tram ride from West Derby into Liverpool, back to Liverpool, just outside Liverpool, not far. And it was a tram ride, and... sometimes the boys used to be sick and the tram used to sway about. But when she got to Liverpool, then you could walk underneath the railway. So if it was raining, you never got wet to your dock.
The overhead railway.
The overhead railway.
It's gone now, isn't
it?
It's
gone now, yeah.
And was it mainly servicemen at the Grafton, or was it...
No, you got civvies, you know, it's all sorts. Might get a few army chaps there.
But no trouble. Or was
very rare, very rare. Sunny.
Was there any signs of the German bombing, or was it still going on? I'm not sure what it was going on in.
No, it was. There wasn't a lot of bombing done then, but most of it had been done early part of the war. There were still many places that you could see that had been, you know, bombed.
So what were you doing? I mean, you're at Liverpool. You're still on these convoys.
Yeah.
Where are we going? Still going to Gibraltar.
To Gibraltar. But the last one from Liverpool that we done was one to Russia.
So, again, nothing particular happened on it? No contacts or no look in sinking submarines or anything in this period?
I think there was, in our group, you know, in our group, I think somebody, one of them, found and sank a submarine. I don't know what the number of it was.
But not your ship?
Not our ship, no.
And... okay, so what do you remember of this last one?
What do you mean, number?
Now, just picking up odd things, because we're not very... What about the round about D-Day, 6th of June 1944?
Well, 6th of June, we was patrolling the coast of France. I forget the places we went to. For submarines, in case... they attacked the forces that was going to start the invasion.
Anything happened?
We went over. There was a ship called the Capel that got sunk, and we went over to see if there was any survivors or.
What do you remember that? What do you remember that incident? Did you see much from your
own? No, it was mostly wreckage when we got there. I think the original. People, if there was any, I think there were some survivors, they was picked up by another ship. But we went over just to see if any, you know, anybody had been missed. And that was, That was called the Capel, that that ship.
And anything that were you doing that long in the Channel?
I think about a week, something like that.
Now, one thing, we're not quite sure of the time. It's all a bit confused for the time. That's
yeah, for that.
What about the Arctic convoys? What do you remember of those?
Well, we left, I think we were named here. We went out on a convoy to Russia. It was JW-66 to Russia. And on the way out there, we got information that there was going to be, there was aircraft about. And so it was axing stations, and I remember standing at my gun for about nearly enough 24 hours with the earphones on. We was brought up food, and well, we was on the gun. We never left it. And apparently the aircraft got diverted off somewhere else. They never come over, but we was ready, you know, for action stations should they come over. But as I say, I was there for 24 hours, and it felt like one earphone was going right through your head to the other side. We got Kai during the night. It's very, very cold.
Well, can you tell me a bit about Kai? It's cocoa, isn't it?
Cocoa, yeah.
What was it made like, and what did it take?
Well, it was in a big, it was like in a slab, and big quarters about as thick as that, and it was mixed with sugar. You could see the sugar in it. And they used to put it in this great big cauldron, and then they'd mix it with water. And before they served it up, it used to have grease on it about half inch thick. Grease would be floating about. But you never tasted a cup of cocoa like it.
It was good.
Ever since. No. It used to line your stomach and keep you warm, you know. It was really good stuff.
And what about the weather during the
that was very, very cold. Ice on the guns. And you had to sort of chip them off to get the guns ready, you know. You had to keep on doing that. And so you went on watch, and you had we used to change over our duffel coats, you know, you'd lend it to somebody else. And it was quite a bad trip.
Was that all you had, duffel coats, the extra clothing to keep you
warm? Oh, yeah, you had extra clothing. You had, like, sort of fleecy lined stuff, you know, to keep you warm. Extra Sioux boot socks and all that. And, like, a skull thing to keep your head warm. But you still felt the cold.
And what happened as you got to the Soviet Union? Well, we got. Did you actually get there?
We landed. I think it was a place called Vanga Bay. What's the name of that? Kola Inlet we went to. That's where the convoys used to assemble as well. But we landed in Russia, and while we was there, we was allowed ashore. And when you went ashore, there was these Russian wrens, and being young, and they was young, they started smiling at you, but they was quickly hit on the behind with a rifle by their guards, you know, like, no fraternisation, like. And, but we went ashore, and there was three of us, and we was walking down this road, and there was an old chap come out of some very old buildings. It was a miserable looking place, like, you know, it's very depressing. And he spoke to us in broken English, and he kept on looking round, and he invited us into this flat. And he had a very small place, and there was two beds in this room. And his daughter was there as well, and apparently he lived in this one room with his daughter. And he offered us something to eat, which we didn't like the look of. It was like cabbage in a cauldron. We asked him for vodka, and he said he only got his allowance, you know, which wasn't very much, and he couldn't spare the vodka. But he was talking, and he'd been to England in the Russian Merchant Navy, and he liked England, and you know, he knew a few broken English, you know, he told us different things, and we spent about half hour, you know, he had his memorabilia in the house, and we were talking about different things. And when we went, he asked us to stay in the flat until we looked outside. And he looked up and down the road, and then he said we could go, as though he was being watched by somebody, you know. It was quite interesting, and we walked back to the ship. And also you get these Russians over the, what do you call them, Mongolian type, and they was pulling on you, well, same, and asking you if you had anything to give them, like, you know, like. And at one period, we, on the second time we went ashore, we took some, you know, tins of different stuff, tins of fish and all that. And they would give you, I've got a Russian banknote, and they would give you knives and, you know, made of perspex in return. Something to eat. I've got a Russian banknote in there anyway, somewhere.
What was the over, I mean, was it a good place to go ashore? It doesn't sound...
Very much to do, no. And while we was there, I think our group put out, they had a rowing contest with these Russians. And the Russians was all cropped hair, and they beat the living daylights out of us on this this rowing race. Put us all to shame.
So, anything else happened while you were at Venga Bay?
I'll make sure about that Venga Bay. It
wasn't
was
Murmansk, was it?
No, not Murmansk. I don't think it was. It was a place where we tied up, so it must have been... I'll have to ask old Pat. Did Pat...
He didn't mention it. He was on another ship that was
I forget the name of it. I'm sure.
He said Murmansk, but, you know.
Oh, it could be Murmansk.
I mean, there's a place just outside Murmansk, the name of which I've forgotten, which it might have been.
Yeah. But, no, it was a very depressing place, and you felt as though you was, you know, especially when this old boy kept, you know, he looked out before we went, and it gave you the impression like you was being watched. But people seem friendly enough.
Yeah, and then on the way back, you'd be escorting. That was RA 66.
Yeah, we RA 66 back. Now we assembled in Kola Inlet for this convoy that we was going to take back. And we went out with three other ships: the Honeysuckle, the Goodall, and us. Well, the Goodall had had some engine trouble, and it had taken them, you know, their petty officers and men had worked on this particular defect for, oh, it must have been 24 hours, and they just about got it working. So on the way out, our skipper, who was in charge, said, as I'm faster than what you are, I'll go to the starboard side and you go to the port, and then the Honeysuckle would go the other side. Like, so three of us went out, and when we started to, just before we started to do this exercise to, you know, search for these subs, the Goodall was hit. And
it was very early May, 1945.
Yeah, it was the last convoy of the war. And
what do you remember? What happened? What did you see when she went up?
Just an explosion, and midships. Mind you was sort of a long way away, so you could just see her in the distance, because you, how do you say, you was with her, and yet you wasn't on top of her, like, you know. And then a little while after that,
she caught fire, didn't she?
She caught fire, yeah, and... The skipper of the was it the Anguilla? No, not the Anguilla. Could have been the Anguilla. That was in our group as well. She had the what's the name of sinking the Stern was still afloat, and she had the job of sinking it, and it was one of the worst things this captain had to do, he said, you know, sinking your own ship, you know, like one of your own. We know many of the men off of that Goodall.
Who rescued? How were they rescued?
The Honeysuckle went alongside, and she rescued as many as she could until, you know, their ship started to get burnt, and they had to come off. The Russians was on the spot, and they rescued a lot of them. You know, picking them up and taking them back to the docks and into hospital.
And this took place in Kola Inlet, was it?
Yeah.
Anything else about the RA-66 convoy on the way home?
Yeah, we sunk a ship called the U-boat called the U-286.
And what do you remember of that? What was the background?
Well, we got pings on that. Skipper got a medal for that, and so did our HSD. And we dropped depth charges, and then we circled round, and this submarine started to come up, and we was all firing at it, and we was getting quite near our own ship, so our captain told us to cease fire. But one of the blokes come out the conning tower and run along to get to a gun, and I think he got his arm shot off, and well, he was in the right state. By the time they he got rescued, but he was in a right
did
state.
Did you open fire at all?
Yeah. Oh yeah, we opened fire. And as I say, we got other ships was near, so we had to cease fire because we didn't want to fire on them.
What effect did? Was the Ehrlich in any use? I guess.
Oh yeah, you could pierce holes in a submarine. And we fired in our bigger guns. I was firing as well, and eventually it went down. So that was, as far as we were concerned, that was sunk.
Were there many survivors?
Off the
U-boat.
There was, I think, there was some. Yeah, I can't tell you how many. Not offhand. And I think they was picked up by the Russians. And that was about it, I think.
Anything else on that trip back?
No, it was quite quiet after that. We was you get information that there's packs, you know, around, and so you sort of divert away from them, because we had the Enigma machine then, and you know, they could tell us or tell the Admiralty. You know, they used to read their messages and all that.
But you wouldn't know that at the time, you just knew.
No, they diverted you off, like the skipper got orders and.
Now, I may have got this wrong, but from what you said, I mean, that was your main action against the U-8. That was about the only time you opened fire in anger.
Yes,
I mean,
yeah.
So quite a lucky ship, the Cotton, in some ways. Would you have wanted a ship that was in more trouble, or were you quite happy?
Quite happy to, because I think those that went on. Russian convoys was the worst convoys you could ever do. And they've never ever been recognised by the British government. The Russians are the only ones that ever recognise what we did, which they give us medals for. And they're the only ones that seem to appreciate what we've done. And they are the worst convoys, and I respect and I'll take my hat off to anybody, any of those blokes who went on Russian convoys. I admire them.
Now, you just went on one. Were you nervous when you were on it? I mean, how did you feel inside, you know?
Well, all I was worried about, that if you fall in that sea, you had about, I think it's about 3 to 5 minutes, and then you was frozen stiff.
Does that worry you, worried about the ship going down?
A little bit, yeah. I thought myself, you know, hope she keeps afloat, you know. When we got the message regarding aircraft that was about, and I was on the gun for 24 hours, I was ready, feeling nervous, but I'd have been there if anything, you know, had come about. You know,
so you didn't want
there.
Them to come, but if they'd come, you'd have done your job.
Yes. I'm not a hero-seeking person.
Now, when you got back, it wasn't long from when you got back to VE Day in Maine, 1945.
Yeah, yeah.
Is that the next thing you'd remember?
Well, we was at sea, I think, on VE Day, I think. Yeah. We was at sea.
Still on the convoy?
Yeah.
What do you remember? Was there any celebrations?
Not really, no. Just good to know that you was, you know, you'd be going back to Liverpool and that was it. You know, that was the end of, you know, it'd be thoughts of demob after that. And but, say, after that, I went back to Portland Barracks.
Now, well, what happened when you got back to Liverpool first?
We went on leave, and then we had to report to Portsmouth.
Now, can I ask you about leave? Because that's one thing I've missed out, just filling. What would you do when you're on leave generally, you know?
But back here. Drinks.
What was it like in the local pubs? I mean, you know, I mean, a lot of people were in the Army, Navy, Air Force, but yeah. Did people still make a fuss of you?
Oh, yeah, they say, oh, glad to see you, and I hope you're all right. And but in some of the pubs, glasses was very scarce, and sometimes you had to take your own glass to get your beer, which wasn't, you know, if you forgot it, you know, you'd have to wait until there was a vacant glass to get it. But sometimes the beer used to run short, and I know a pub in Gidea Park where a lot of Americans used to go, and this governor, he used to get a supply of whiskey, and he used to flock it to this Yanks for twice the amount it was worth. That was his bunts.
And did people still treat sailor? I mean, would you get treated?
Oh yeah. You say, yeah. What are you going to drink, Jack? And
what was it? Was it just the pub, or what else would you do on leave? Or was that the main thing?
Well, it's mostly a drink, or once again, pictures. You know, you'd go out to pictures, which form quite an important part in your life.